This morning I'd like just to share with you from the Olivet Discourse in Luke chapter 21. You open your Bibles at Luke's Gospel chapter 21. The Olivet Discourse is recorded in two passages of Scripture, in Matthew and in Luke. And in both of these instances we have the Lord's words recorded, but each one emphasizes a different aspect. And it's the occasion just before the Lord went to the cross, when the disciples had been in the temple and showing the Lord the wonderful building of the temple. And just as a little background on that, we should remember that this temple was brand new at the time that the Lord began his ministry. And the Lord began his ministry in 29 AD, and in 27 AD this temple was just completed. It took 46 years to build. It began in 20 BC. Herod the Great had decided that he would upgrade the temple which the rubble had built after the Babylonian captivity, completed in 516 BC, and he wanted to appease the Jews. He was an Idumean, he was an Edomite, and there was great bitterness between the Edomites and the Jews. And so in order to try and get on side with the Jews, he decided he would do something really spectacular and upgrade the temple. Well, the Jews insisted that he should not destroy the temple and pull it down and build another one, but that he should just simply upgrade it. So he did, from the foundations up. And the whole of the temple was rebuilt in 46 years. Of course, he died about 4 BC or 3 or 4 BC, and then descendants that continued the work of building that temple. And so the Lord Jesus began his ministry at a time when the temple was just in its magnificence. And here the disciples were showing the Lord around the temple and just admiring the wonderful, the brilliance of the architecture, the brilliance of the handcraft, handcraftsmanship in the place, the gold, the silver, the precious stones that were in that lovely building. And so as they looked at it, the Lord Jesus dropped a bombshell. He said, "See all this?" He said, "There won't be one stone left upon another. It's all going to be demolished." Now that was a real bombshell to the Jews, because these disciples had expected that Messiah would establish his kingdom. You know, the Bible teaches there's going to be a kingdom of God on earth. And so the Lord says in the prayer, "Thy kingdom come." We're to pray that the kingdom of God will come on earth. And that's going to happen after Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom, and he will reign from Jerusalem, and Israel will be a converted nation, and they will be his administrators, and the law of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem to the whole world. And the Gentiles are going to come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14 tells us that. And so, friends, there is a kingdom coming. And the disciples were expecting that Messiah would establish that kingdom. But how could he have a kingdom without a temple? The temple had just been completed. There was an expectation that the kingdom was about to appear. In Luke chapter 17, we're told how the Jews came to Jesus and they said, "When will the kingdom appear?" And the Lord gave them the answer to that in Luke 17. Friends, this was a very crucial moment, and the disciples were really expecting the kingdom to about be established, and they needed the temple for the kingdom. And yet the Lord said, "It's all going to be destroyed." Let's read then from Luke chapter 21. "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, 'Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had.' And as some spake of the temple, and how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, 'As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.' And they asked him, saying, 'Master,
But when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not immediately. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall hear answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall lay cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them which give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And we'll just go down to verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. God will bless the reading of his word. Friends, I'd like just to share with you the account in Luke's Gospel, and then make a brief reference to the account in Matthew's Gospel, so that we where do we adjust this sort of thing? We need to see it. You know, somebody said to me once, when you put your transparencies on the screen, put them up fuzzy first and then sharp them afterwards. And that's a good illustration. You see, 50 years ago, men who taught the Word of God about the Lord's return, they saw these things just as we see them today, because it's in the Word of God. But they didn't see them as sharp and clear as we do today, because so much has happened over the last 50 years. We are indeed living in the last days, and the whole picture is becoming so much clearer to us. Well, friends, the chapter that we've just read tells us of signs that will accompany the coming of the Lord, and there are three signs here. Now, we're not told about two of them in great detail. We're told mainly about one of those signs in Luke's Gospel. There were actually three signs that the Lord Jesus gave. Matthew 24 says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age, And when shall these things be? That is, when will the temple be destroyed which the Lord had just foretold? Three things the Lord gave signs for in these two accounts. Luke gives us part of that answer, and Matthew gives us another part of that answer in detail. The three signs that the Lord Jesus gave. One, when will these things be? And Luke gives us the detail concerning that. When will the temple be destroyed? Secondly, what will be the sign of thy coming, and what shall be the sign of the end of the age? Those three signs are given in the Olivet Discourse. Now let's look at the one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Firstly, the Lord speaks about the last days, the signs that will lead up to his coming, and he speaks about the beginning of sorrows. And he says, but all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In other words, he was saying that there would be trouble all down through the years. He didn't want the disciples to be suddenly expecting him to appear at a time when he was not going to appear. And so to allay their fears, he said, there will be wars, there'll be commotions, there'll be all sorts of things going on. But that is par for the course for civilization. You see, if you look at history and you read back through history, you'll find it is a whole list of wars. It is a whole list of trouble. There always has been wars. And Jesus says, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But then he says, in Matthew's Gospel, that there would be then international, global wars. Nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. In other words, it's going to become global, and it's going to become much more intense. And he said, these are the signs that will lead up to the second coming and to the end of the age. Now, in Luke's Gospel, I'd just like to run through you with this. If you look at your Bible as we go, because it's important that we see what the Word of God says. And here we read in verse 10, he says, then nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, great earthquakes. This is the global aspect. This is the end of the age. Things are going to become more intense. But then in verse 12, he says, but before all these things. Notice that. Here is a key to understanding Luke chapter 21. Before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, and delivering you up to the synagogues, into prisons, that you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now friends, one thing we must understand as we look at the Olivet Discourse, that this has nothing to do with the church. This is to Israel. The church had not been formed when the Lord gave this instruction to the disciples. The disciples were still Old Testament saints at this particular point in time. The church was formed on the day of Pentecost, about 55 days later than the Olivet Discourse. And so the Lord was speaking to Jewish disciples who were looking for a kingdom where Israel would be the ruling nation of the world. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, just before the Lord ascended, the disciples said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore unto Israel the kingdom? You see, the disciples had still not ceased to focus upon Israel because the church wasn't revealed and the church had not been established. So let's read the scriptures in the right context. And so he says to these disciples, before all these things that are going to take place at the end of the age, they're going to persecute you and you're going to be brought up before the synagogues. And he's warning them that there was going to be persecution from their fellow Jews and they would be taken before the synagogues. It doesn't apply to us. We don't get taken before synagogues, but these early Christians who were Jewish believers would be tried and before they're in their synagogues. And so he speaks about that early church persecution. And then he says, verse 17, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 16, you'll be betrayed by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. Now friends, that is just typical of Jewish persecution. I remember Dr. Hyman Appleman came out here in 1948. I was converted about that time, not under his ministry, under my dad's ministry, but Dr. Hyman Appleman was a converted Jew. And he told his story how when he was converted, his family had a funeral service. And he was put out as though he was no longer existing. And that is the attitude when a Jew gets converted even today in many circumstances. And so there is this persecution from the family in this Jewish context. But then he says, in your patience, verse 19, possess ye your souls, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh at hand. Now the first thing Jesus says was, the temple's going to be demolished. And he says, what shall be the sign? When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? When shall these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And so he's now saying, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that its desolation is nigh. That was the sign of the first prediction Jesus made. Now friends, that happened. In fact, we know that from history how that the Romans came in 70 AD and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. What had been happening about that time was that Nero was the emperor of Rome. Nero was a vile, vile man. He was a homosexual. He had a homosexual marriage to a man who they travelled down the streets of Rome with his male companion dressed as a bride, kissing in front of the cheering crowds as they went down the streets of Rome. His male companion was, homosexual companion, was still with him at the time on the 1st of January 68 AD when he committed suicide and cut his own throat with a dagger. Friends, he had one wife who he wanted to get rid of, so he put her in a boat, which was a boat that would fall apart, and sent her down the river. Unfortunately, she swam to shore, so he had a poison. He had another wife who was pregnant, and when she rebuked him for coming home late at night, because he used to go out to all the discos in those days, and they had discos in those days, he kicked her to death. He killed his own parents. This man was so vile that the very Senate was after him. The army was after him at the time when he decided to commit suicide. The whole of the Roman Empire was falling apart under the reign of Nero. And the people in the land of Palestine decided it was an appropriate time to rise up against the power of Rome. And so they began to revolt against Rome. And by the time we got to 70 AD, they had revolted. But you see, at that time, Nero had committed suicide. And Vespasian, who had been sent by Nero with 60,000 troops into the land of Palestine to put down the revolution, he decided that he'd go back to Rome to try and take over the emperorship of Rome. And so he left his son Titus in charge of the army. He had another 20,000 troops. So he had 80,000 troops when he came to Jerusalem, surrounded the city and besieged it for 5 months until finally the city fell. An awful bloodbath. And Jesus said here to the Christians, the believers, he says, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation is near. Now the normal thing is when a country was being attacked by armies for people to go to the fortified cities for defence. And many of them did. But the Lord Jesus warned the believers not to do that. He says, if you're in the country, don't go into the city. If you're in the city, get out. And it's recorded by Josephus how that the Christians, when they saw Jerusalem surrounded with armies, obeyed the Lord's instruction and left Jerusalem. They went across to Pella up on the eastern side of the Jordan River and were treated quite well by the governor of the time. And so the first sign, when shall these things be, was that Jerusalem should be compassed with armies. And then we read that Jesus said that after this compassing of Jerusalem with the armies, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. Verse 23 says, there shall be great distress in the land. Great distress. Now it's in the land of Israel. This is all Jewish. It's nothing to do with the church. Except that the Christians would leave the city and before its destruction. And so he says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now friends, here we have a long period of time, 2,000 years nearly, since this took place in 70 AD. The Jews were put to the edge of the sword. Over 1 million Jews were killed. Many were taken away captive and scattered throughout the world. In 70 AD, the Romans insisted that the Jews should no longer circumcise their children. They insisted that they should no longer contribute the silver holy half shekel, which every male over 20 years of age was obliged to do in order to provide money for the maintenance of the temple. They didn't want any money to be provided for the temple in case they rebuilt it. And so the Jews were scattered. And Jesus says this will continue until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now what's the times of the Gentiles? The times of the Gentiles is the treading down of Jerusalem by Gentile powers. And friends, that began right back in 606 BC when the first Gentile world power came in under Nebuchadnezzar and occupied Jerusalem. Following that, the Persians were there. Following that, the Greeks were there. And then the Romans. Jerusalem has been trodden down of the Gentiles since 606 BC. The four great Gentile world empires described in Daniel chapter 7 are the ones who have trodden down Jerusalem. You know, friends, in 1967, when the Jewish people came and they captured Jerusalem, many people said, the times of the Gentiles are finished. Jerusalem is no longer trodden down of the Gentiles. If you go to Jerusalem today and you'll find it's still trodden down of the Gentiles. The Temple Mount is not under the control of the Jews. They have sovereignty over it. They have annexed the area into Israel, but it means very little. And friends, Jerusalem is still trodden down of the Gentiles. It is the debating point. It is the crucial point for negotiations in any peace in the Middle East. You can forget about the refugee problem. You can forget about land for peace. It is Jerusalem and the temple site that is the critical point of negotiations. And so the times of the Gentiles have not yet run their course. But friends, the Bible tells us that the last Gentile world power is going to be the revived Roman Empire. The European Union today is the revived Roman Empire coming together. An Antichrist is going to be a Roman prince, as we saw yesterday from Daniel chapter 9. His people were the ones who destroyed the temple in 70 AD, and Antichrist is going to come out of that revived Roman Empire. We pointed out yesterday that it's not without significance but Israel has now become an associate member of the European Union. She is accepted into the United Nations regional division, the European division, when she ought to be in the Asian division. Friends, Israel and Europe, the revived Roman Empire, are coming together. And that revived Roman Empire, friends, is a massive organisation. They have 11 applications of countries to join. They have 15 countries in already. When the 11 join, that will make 500 million people, nearly double the population of the United States. They are Australia's greatest trading partner, the greatest investor in Australia. They have their financial and economic influence right throughout the nations of the world. And they are building up a military force, firstly under NATO, and now an independent European force, starting with 100,000 right at this very moment. And friends, the Bible tells us that Antichrist is going to come out of that revived Roman Empire, and he is going to be the final one to tread down Jerusalem. In fact, we saw that yesterday, because in the midst of the 7 years of great tribulation, just before Jesus comes again, halfway through that period of time, Antichrist is going to move in and cause the Jewish sacrifices and oblations to cease for the overspreading of abominations, and he's going to be there sitting in the temple in Jerusalem when Jesus comes to reign. And Jesus is going to deal with him. The beast and the false prophet, according to Revelation chapter 19, will be taken and cast alive into the lake of fire when the Lord returns to reign over this earth. Well, friends, That's the picture. And then that goes on down to the end of the age, till the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and we are living in that period of time right now. But then he says, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. This is at the end of the times of the Gentiles. And with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and they'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Friends, here is the next sign. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Matthew says they shall see the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. So the first sign is of the destruction of the temple, was Jerusalem compassed with armies. That has happened. That has been fulfilled. That is history now. The next sign is, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And his coming will be with power and great glory. The sign that Jesus Christ is coming to this world, Jesus says, if they say that the Messiah is in the wilderness, go not after him. If he's in a house, go not after him, because he will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's the sign of the Lord's return in the last days. Now, what is the sign of the end of the age? If we go back to Matthew's Gospel, and in chapter 24, the Lord Jesus gives the other sign very clearly, and he says, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, never shall be. And he says, and when you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them be which in Judea flee into the mountains. You see, the Jews fled when the city was compassed with armies in 70 AD. They're going to flee again when Antichrist comes and sets up his throne in the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus says that the sign of the end of the age is the great tribulation. We are living in the age of grace. This is the church age. And dear friends, we have been going for nearly 2,000 years. And God has been calling out of the Gentiles a people for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews have been put aside. Back there in the Acts of the Apostles, they were put aside. Romans chapter 11 tells us that. And God is going to bring them back when they repent. But during this period of time, there is the mystery age of the church. And God is calling out a people for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 15 in the first church council spells that out very clearly. And he says that afterward, he would build again the tabernacle of David, which is broken down, and that all nations will be blessed again in the millennium. So friends, we have first of all the sign of the destruction of the temple is the encirclement of Jerusalem by the Roman armies in 70 AD. We have the sign of the Lord's coming, which is the Lord's spectacular return in the clouds of heaven. The world will see the wonder, the miracle of him coming in glory and power. The sign of the end of the age, that we are getting near to the end of the age, is that this world is going to go through a bloodbath of 7 years of great tribulation. And that's why Jesus described that in Matthew chapter 24. He said, except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, that is Israel's sake, those days shall be shortened. And so this world, friends, is heading up right now to the sign of the end of the age. The church is going to be raptured first. The Christians are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to be here for that time of great tribulation. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, we are not appointed under wrath, but to obtain deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not the children of the night, but the children of the day. He says, that day shall not overtake you as a thief in the night, to the Christians of Thessalonica. We will not see the great tribulation. We'll be caught up before that. And so the world then will enter into its darkest hour of history. 7 years of great tribulation. And in that time of great tribulation, friends, the Bible tells us that we are going to see such an awful death toll. In one judgment alone, one quarter of this world's population is going to be slain. a subsequent one-third, making a total of one-half of the world's population will die in the Great Tribulation. There is going to be pollution of the oceans. One-third of the world will be burned with fire, the grass, the trees. And you can imagine the smoke and the debris that will cover the earth. The sun will be blotted out on one occasion for over one-third of the earth as a result of the smoke and the fire from the judgments that God will send. This world is heading for its awful bloodbath at the end of the age. And that is the sign of the end of the age. But friends, for Christians, we know that we're not going to be here for that. We're not appointed to that, but appointed for deliverance. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we're looking for. You know, these three signs are for Israel. God gives signs to the Jews. The Jews seek after a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews were always looking for a sign. They came to Jesus. They said, Lord, show us a sign. He wouldn't give them a sign apart from the sign of the prophet Jonas. But friends, we are not looking for signs. We're listening for sounds. The Christian is listening for the trumpet call. The dead in Christ, the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. We are listening for sounds. Israel is looking for signs. But friends, we can see the signs too. As we look at the Word of God, we can see these signs coming to pass. We can see the nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We can see awful desolation across the world. Why, in Congo, 3 million have died in the last 32 months. Last 18 years in the Sudan, 2 million have died. In another country there in Africa, in 10 weeks, 800,000 died. Cambodia, between 1 and 2 million out of a total population of 3 million died. They don't know how many. Friends, we are living in awful days that have never been equaled in human history. We are at the end of the church age. We're at the beginning of a new era of great tribulation, which is about to fall upon this world. And Jesus is coming soon. Friend, are you ready? If Jesus came today for his church, and the trumpet was to sound this morning, and the saints were to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, I wonder, would everybody here this morning be caught up in that wonderful rapture? Friends, at the age of 15, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Saviour. My father was preaching, and he preached on the text, summer has ended, harvest is past, and we are not saved. I knew that I wasn't right with God. I had a profession of being a Christian. I said I was saved. I even told the kids at school I was a Christian. But I wasn't born again, and I knew in my heart sin controlled my life. And I found that night, on the 1st of August 1948, that Jesus Christ became a reality. And he made me a new creature. And from that moment on, I knew that I was ready to meet the Lord Jesus, should he come at any moment. Friend, this morning, are you ready? Have you trusted the Saviour? Maybe we're all believers here this morning. Maybe we are all ready. Maybe if the rapture took place this morning, this place would be totally empty. But friends, you can be a professing Christian and not born again. And that was my position before I was saved at the age of 15. Well, friends, Jesus is coming. He's coming for his own first, then he's coming to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.